Mother Nature continues to cooperate for the Tennessee Titans. Another warm, sunny day at St. Thomas Sports Park as the Titans are wrapping up their first full week of training camp 2014. Welcome to Titans Live at TitansOnline.com. I'm Mike Keith, and we're so glad to have you with us today as we talk Titans football and bring you inside the Titans for the next half hour. We'll be joined by Titans Amy. That's Amy Wells. And remember, you can send in a question for later in the program that we'll answer. And the hashtag is Titans Live. Hashtag Titans Live for your question. Amy Wells gathering those, and we'll have them later in the show. And what a fun time a lot of Titan fans had coming to St. Thomas Sports Park today on the bus. Nashville MTA hosting a pep rally on wheels, sponsored by the mayor, and of course he is a tremendous supporter of MTA, rides the bus monthly to draw attention to what it does for our community and what Nashville MTA is able to do, one of the most outstanding bus lines in the United States. Just $1.70 to ride one way, $5.25 a day, and a lot of fans join Titans cheerleaders in T-Rack along with Executive Vice President Don McLaughlin in making their way from route number 9 or stop number 9 to St. Thomas Sports Park. So we hope the pep rally on wheels went great. And thanks to Mayor Carl Dean and MTA, Nashville MTA, for making that happen. Also making it happen, as he always did for the Titans, number 53, Keith Bullock, joins us here for an edition of Titans Live. And we have special visitors here today. Five NFL officials are here, led by Cleet Blakeman, one of the top referees in the game. What do the players get out of having the officials here?
Well, by the officials being here, the players get a test run of how the games are going to be called. There's new rule changes every year, and the players get their first opportunity at a full-speed look of how the refs are going to call the games this year. Also, it helps the refs get practice as well. You know, these guys have been off since whenever their last game was, so they have to get out there, get reps, get used to the new rules that have been implemented, and go about making their calls accordingly.
Does it help you as a player sort of develop that rapport with the officials so maybe they know you a little better and you know them a little better?
Well, it definitely helps to know what you can and cannot do. I remember when they changed the 5-yard bump rule, we had officials there. So that whole 3-day period we were working, it was one of those things. That was an emphasis by the referees and by our coaches to learn on the defensive side of the ball that you cannot touch the wide receiver or a receiver of any sort after five yards. So it definitely helps and benefits both sides of the ball and the referees.
Cleet Blakeman has met with the team, also met with the media a few minutes ago to go over some of the rule changes. So let's take a look and get Keith Bullock's reaction to some of the top rule changes or points of emphasis. Number one, there's an emphasis on making sure that demeaning and offensive language is taken out of the game as much as possible. There's always been jawing, but there's a feeling that maybe it's gone too far and they want to cut it out. Your reaction?
Football is an emotional game. It's played on emotion. It's played on mentality. So by you taking that aspect out of the game, it's great to clean it up. The only people that really hear it are the officials. Sometimes the boom mic catches some language. But I feel if you're in a distressed situation where a lot of players are when you're playing the game, you may use some foul language. So that's I'm curious to how that one's going to go and how tightly they're going to call it, because I feel in everyday life people use foul language at work and in frustrating situations. So I wonder what the give and take is going to be with that new rule.
Well, they said that they'll kind of warn guys,
right,
and that people know when they're over the line, but they want to make sure that a lot of the language that is particularly insulting,
right,
is what they want
to
take out.
Yeah, it's probably more of the back and forth banter, getting in your face, name calling, derogatory remarks. Those are things that can really incite a game and probably incite a fight, you know, whether it be, you know, after the game or even a little scuffle during the game. Those are the things that you want to clean up, and I understand it from that standpoint. But, you know, a curse here or there, you know, some foul language here or there is bound to happen.
Last year in the NFL, there were nearly 1,300 attempted extra points. Only 5 kicks were not good. So in the preseason, an experiment. The first 2 weeks, they will snap the ball from the 15-yard line for extra points, making the kick instead of 20 yards, 33 yards to put an added degree of difficulty. Do you like it?
I do like it. You know, that's normally a chip shot. You know, that extra point, you line up from the ball is centered at the three, and then it's snapped to about the 10 or 11-yard line, the preference of the kicker, you know. But this is great. You know, I feel like it's more of a play, and it may even give the offense an opportunity to be more creative. You know, you have more field to work with, and with more field, you never know. There could be more trick plays with that extra 15 yards. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw those things in the preseason, because, like you said, it's being implemented in the preseason just kind of to work it out, kind of like a test run to see how things will go and see if they want to implement it in the future in NFL games.
If you want to go for two, you'll still snap it from the 2-yard line, so no change there. One of the other most interesting rules is you cannot use the football as a prop, and now you can't dunk the football over the goal post. Is that going too far?
I mean, no fun league, NFL, no fun league.
Nah.
I have to use that one. I know it's cliche, but there aren't too many people that can actually dunk it over the goalposts. And I think that those guys that do it, that's their signature. You know, first one I think of, Jimmy Graham, Tony Gonzalez is retired. So there aren't too many guys that do it. So it's just another way of the NFL to make it strictly about the game and kind of, you know, take the fun out of it. You know, I said no fun league, but, you know, I feel like dunking over the goalpost is pretty harmless.
All right. Second year in a row that all players outside of kickers and punters required to wear thigh pads and knee pads. Should the league be able to tell players what kind of padding they should wear?
Yeah, it's for safety. I like that. It's for safety. But as a player, there's ways around that. Look, they didn't say how thick your thigh pads have to be or how thick your knee pads have to be. They just want something in those positions on your knee and your thigh to protect yourself. At the end of the day, they're trying to protect the player. It falls into the line of player safety when you talk about the equipment that's being worn.
All right, finally. Continued expansion of the defenseless player rule, not only on offense but also on defense, guarding against crackback blocks illegally, and certainly for offense, the defenseless receiver. I know how you felt about it when you played, but now that you're a former player, how do you feel about this?
I just feel it's a tough rule for defenders to play around. You know, coaches teach play full speed, play to the ball, play to the whistle. But now the hit zone, the striking area, is so small that it's tough for a player to decide. So I think it's great because it protects the players. But at the same time, being a former defensive player, it's really difficult to go out there and do your job. So the best advice for a defensive player, just go do your job, make the play, and let the officials make the call. But what I've been seeing from last year, they're definitely siding, you know, more so on those close bang-bang hits. And they might not even be penalties, but they're going to throw the flag.
You're going to watch that in the preseason, all those rules and some others, as the officials here today teaching the players and the coaches specifically about the changes. After we take a break, we're going to talk some about the Titans' defensive backs. A lot more coming up. Titans Live at TitansOnLive.com. Coming to you from St. Thomas Sports Park in Nashville. More right after this.
You know, I want a smart, tough, disciplined football team. But the important thing is that they're ready to go on Sunday.
Our goal is to put the type of team out there that our fans can be proud of.
New ticket options. Call 615-565-4200.
Titan fans, it's time to tighten up.
Practice in a row that the Titans have been in full pads.
Yeah.
You like that?
I do. The game is played in pads, and, you know, although it's camp, you want to give your players a rest. It's not like Coach Wisenhunt is getting out here like back in the 70s and hitting every period, you know. But the game is played in pads. The players have to get used to wearing their pads. So I don't see anything wrong with it. You know, get their legs used to it, their shoulders, their necks, everything that comes with wearing 18 pounds of extra equipment while you play the game of football.
All right, and the defensive backs getting used to carrying their pads. They're going to be our focus position today. So we start off with the Titans' new secondary coach, Louis Chofi, and he's standing by with our Amy Wells.
I'm here with Titans defensive backs coach Louis Chofi. Now, coach, this position specifically has gotten a lot of excitement around it. What are you so excited about?
You know, I'm just excited about the athletic ability of this group overall. We have a very good mix of both young and old players. They both have a lot to bring to the table, and they've worked extremely hard this camp, and they're just going to – I'm really, really excited for this game coming up so they can really show what they've done.
Now, some of those veteran players are guys like Bernard Pollard, who's been quite a presence out here during this camp. Has he kind of stepped into the role that you thought he would?
Bernard and I have a short history with each other, but I've known him from my experiences in the league. He's always been a guy that I've respected, and I'm really excited about working with him. And everything that I thought he was, he's that and more. He's a tremendous leader. He's very, very good with the young guys. He's very good at his job, and he makes the whole team better, both offensively and defensively, with the energy and tempo he brings to practice every day.
Now, he's a loud guy, but there are also some other veteran leaders in this group. Who else is really standing out to you?
Jason McCourty's done a great job. Griff's done a great job. And then our Minister of Defense, George Wilson, he's very solid in our room. All the young guys look up to him. So I'm very, very pleased with the leadership of this group.
Now, there's been a lot of attention put on the cornerback battle. Between Bleedy Ray Wilson and Cody Sensabaugh, what do those two guys bring to that position?
Well, again, that's the part where I said we have good, young, athletic talent. I'd also include Tommy Campbell in that mix. There's guys that you can never have enough corners in this league. The way this league is going, where offenses attack you with multiple wide receiver sets on first and second down, not only third down, you know, there are times where multiple guys will be in the game. So I'm excited about the battle. Those three guys are competing, and by that competition, we'll end up with some pretty good football players.
Now, in the next week before the first preseason game, what are you hoping to accomplish in this group?
You know, just like I said, we're just going to work to get better, to get the best product out on the field. We just continually work to put these guys in positions where they can succeed. And if they succeed, our team will be very, very good.
Great. Well, thank you for your time, Coach. We appreciate it.
Had a sneak peek at today's practice script. And Louis Chofi's group going to be really challenged today. A lot of one-on-one periods and a lot of hard work against the wide receivers where these defensive backs are going to be put on island. So they'll sleep well tonight. And if you're coming out to practice at St. Thomas Sports Park, you're going to see some great work between the receivers and the defensive backs. Louis Chofi spent last year in Cleveland, 2 years before that in Arizona, meaning that he was with defensive coordinator Ray Horton for the last 3 years. How much of a help is that in implementing this new defense?
It's a huge help. It's a huge help that Coach Chofi is familiar with Coach Horton and vice versa, whereas he's already taught it in Arizona, Coach Horton's system. He had to teach it in Cleveland, Coach Horton's system. Now he's coming in Nashville to teach it. So it's his third time around. Not necessarily – it's his third time around as a defensive back coach having to teach a whole new group a totally new defense. So I think that the defensive backs in that secondary, in that classroom, benefit from Coach Chofi being there because he's a master of this defense. You know, he's been with Coach Horton and, you know, the lineage of this 3-4 defense.
This secondary last year, you saw them play. Where do they need to improve the most as a group?
I think where they need to improve the most, they returned 3 out of 4 starters. They have to get more turnovers. You know, 18 interceptions in 16 games is not good. You know, I think they have to get more turnovers to give their offense the ball in better positions sometimes, you know, sometimes on the shorter end of the field. And getting turnovers sets the tone. You know, it can, if the offense isn't having a good game, they definitely can pick the team up by getting an interception. Or, you know, you got a guy like Michael Griffin, McCourty, those guys that I've seen take the ball 80 the other way, they're game changers. You know, anytime you have a defender that can take the ball from defense and put points on the board for the offense, you have something there. And there are guys in that secondary that can definitely do that.
Keith Bullock, so much of the focus of the fan base and the media on the secondary at that open cornerback job. Number 25, Bleedy Ray Wilson, a second-year man. Number 24, Cody Sensabaugh, a third-year man. They seem to be the two leaders for the job. What really has to happen for one of them to take control? What's the biggest area?
I think it's a matter of want. Whoever wants it more is going to take the position. You know, it's a friendly competition, but at the end of the day, you come into this league to be a starter. You come into this league, you want to be a star in the NFL. And the only way to do that is to raise up to all levels of competition. And this is the ultimate competition. You have a new coaching staff who's not necessarily familiar with either one of you. They're starting to get to learn you. So both of those men have a chance to assert themselves and, you know, step over that next man by going out and being consistent in practice and getting better every day. You have to show that you're not making the same mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to get beat. But the coaches are looking for someone that has that mental toughness, that how does he react after he gets beat for a deep pass, or how does he react after he gives up a first down? So those are the intangibles that will be seen by the coaches and something for fans to look for during preseason games.
Cody Sensabaugh has spent a lot of time as the nickelback over the last couple of seasons. Does it maybe hurt him in a way that they've already seen he can play that spot effectively and they say, well, why don't we just go ahead and stick with him there and put, you know, Bleedy Ray Wilson on the outside and just be done with it?
It doesn't hurt him because he gets on the field. You know, the nickel back position, you get a lot of opportunities to make plays. You know, you're protected inside. A lot of times you're protected outside. I think the biggest challenge for Cody will to be to go outside where, you know, it's just he's on his island. You know, he's the corner, and there's no help all the time, you know, so he has to really man up. And I think that playing in that nickelback position for those couple years has given him the confidence that he knows he can go out there. It doesn't help the defense. If anything, it hurts to know that they have a nickelback, and if he can go out there and be the starting corner, that's even better because they have men in there defensive backfield that they can put in as a nickelback as well.
In a best case scenario, how quickly do you want to make that choice if you're the coaching staff?
I say by the fourth game. You know, by the last game, I'm going to go into with my starters, where my starters are going to play the most. Whoever is going to be my starting corner that last preseason game that I decide we're going to play two or three quarters, he's going to be the starter because I need to see him react with the starters and know that he is the starter and go out there and play confident.
Your former teammate, Michael Griffin, it seems like the safety can flourish in this defense. Number 33 has been a good player for a long time. Does this really fit him?
Yeah, it does. I think it's great for Griff, you know, in his eighth year to see something different. He's pretty much played in the same scheme his whole year. And when he first got here, the scheme was new to him. Pro bowler, all pro, making those big explosive plays I was talking about earlier, scoring touchdowns, being in center field, making the interceptions. I think that this will be a great new look for him. And TJ Ward, like I said, played in that Cleveland defense last year where coach is coming from. He went to the Pro Bowl, got a big deal, now is in Denver. So if Michael Griffin can come and do a lot of those things, TJ's more of a Pollard guy hitting in the box top guy, but this 3-4 defense allows both safeties to be interchangeable.
And finally, how big was it, not just for the secondary, not just for the defense, but for the whole team, that Bernard Pollard was re-signed?
I think it was big. I like Bernard Pollard's energy. He brings the energy. He brings the confidence. He's been there. He's done it. He's played for Kansas City with some great players. Baltimore went and won a Super Bowl, was a part of a Super Bowl team, came here, was brought here by Mike Munchak to fill that void and bring leadership and confidence. And the new regime, obviously, Mr. Webster felt as if he was worth bringing back. And now we should see a different Bernard Pollard. He should be playing with even more confidence because he knows that, okay, this is my team. I'm going to be here. And he's in the boat with these guys. He understands the mission. They haven't been to the playoffs, and I think since 2008 or 2009. So at first and foremost is to get the defense on the same page, and I'm sure collectively as a team is to get back to the playoffs.
As people see this ball club, they start to sort of see the pieces come together and put it together about how this might end up being a good team. A lot of the national people starting to make it into Nashville to St. Thomas Sports Park to take a look at the ball club. Amy Wells had a chance to visit with one of those.
I'm standing here with NFL Network's Albert Breer. Now, Albert, you were out at practice today. What were some of your initial impressions of this team?
I think the first thing you notice is the edge. And you saw the fight at the end of practice between Justin Hunter and Michael Griffin. And, you know, you see the constant stream of trash talking there. You know, you can kind of see the Steeler mentality that I'm sure Ken Wisenhunt and Ray Horton and the rest of the coaching staff want to instill in their players. And it's a little bit, I think, going back to what they had when Jeff Fisher was here and Greg Williams was the defensive coordinator and Jim Schwartz was here. You know, they want to play. You get the sense talking to the players, they want to play with a little bit of nastiness. And so that would be the big thing that I'd take out just from watching the practice.
Now, on this defense, they're switching, you know, to more of a hybrid-style defense. Other teams in the league have done this. Do you think that the Titans have the pieces to be successful doing that?
Well, the last team I was actually visiting with was the Eagles, and they did that last year, where the first year, and they'd been running a 4-3 defense forever. And the first year, under Billy Davis coming over, and he's from that same Steeler lineage, he comes over and he runs a mixture of stuff. And I think that's probably what we'll see this year. We'll probably see some 4-3, some 3-4. And they'll probably go back and forth. Ray Horton did a little bit of that in Arizona as well. And then, you know, after a year or two of adding some more players in, they'll probably go to more of a true 3-4. Although it looks like the important positions here, I mean, the big things in the Steeler defense have always been those outside linebackers. And the sense that I get talking to people here is that Morgan and Wembley look capable of carrying out those roles.
Switching to the offensive side of the ball, the running backs are switching more from having one star to having more of a group effort. Do you think that's something that will be beneficial to the Titans?
Well, that's the way the league's going. You know what I mean? Unless you have Adrian Peterson or Shady McCoy or Jamal Charles, you're probably shuttling backs because teams just aren't making the same sorts of investments in running backs now. And in that way, you know, I think the Chris Johnson contract became a little bit of a dinosaur, especially when he wasn't producing at the same level anymore. And so getting out from underneath that gives them some flexibility elsewhere on their roster. And they're doing now what a lot of teams do, which is kind of piece the position together with guys they've drafted. You know, they've got the veteran in there and Sean Green. Lots of teams have won that way. You know, you see the Niners and the Seahawks winning with a Gore and a Lynch. Well, the teams on the other side, the Broncos, Moreno had a pretty good year last year, but they let him walk in the offseason. And the Patriots' lead back last year was LeGarrette Blount, who went to the Steelers. So it's not seen as a premium position anymore, and I think that that's probably what the Titans' decision-making there reflects more than anything else.
Did you see one key piece today that really can give Titans fans some hopes or something to get excited about?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is looking at the depth and the skill positions now. I mean, I think that you can expect the defense to be good, and Horton's going to do a good job putting that thing together. You look at what he did with the Browns last year, going from 23rd to 9th. You know, and the success that he had the year before that in Arizona, I think there's a reasonable expectation that they can be pretty good on defense. To me, I look at the weapons around Jake Locker. Kendall Wright should be better. Justin Hunter should be better. You know, Bishop Sankey should be able to make plays in the offense. You know, I see a solid group of skill position players around what should be a very good offensive line that they've invested in. You know, so to me, I think the pieces are really in place around Jake Locker now. And going into contract gear, we'll find out whether or not he's good enough to make it happen.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us right here on Titans Live.
Albert Breer seems to be pretty impressed with the Tennessee Titans. As you delve into this team and you see all of the parts, you get more impressed.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty surprising to hear a national guy talking well about us down here in Tennessee and Titanland. But, yeah, for real, it's always been that way. Unless you really get into what's going on down here, you're not going to know. And a lot of the guys from the national standpoint, they're not down here. You know, you have to come down here and see, and it's been like that forever. So I'm excited for Coach Wisenhunt and this team to get after it start September.
All right, let's go to the hardest working woman in show business, Amy Wells. She's got questions from Twitter. Remember, it's hashtag Titans Live. Amy Wells, question number one, please.
All right, guys, we've got good questions today. The first one is from Steven on Twitter, who wants to know, which player do you guys think will have the most sacks?
I'm going to go with Jarrell Casey. Jarrell, he's someone that you know, in this new defense, I think it's going to be hard for offenses to locate at first. You know, they're going to have to game plan and scheme for him. And also, he's in a contract year. He's one of those guys, he has his nose to the ground. He's not worried about, you know, holding out or any contract disputes. He knows that if he puts it on the field, then everything else will take care of itself. So that's my pick.
All right, Jarrell Casey says Keith Bullock. Question two, Amy.
All right, you guys talked earlier in the show about the new league rule changes. James on Twitter wants to know, how do you think the Titans will respond to those changes?
They'll respond accordingly, just like every other team has to respond to them. It's great that they have the referees here today so they can kind of get used to some of the new ones, and a lot of the old ones get reacclimated to actually playing football with referees. But the whole league is going to have to change, not just the Titans. So I think it's going to be everyone else.
All right, I think we've got time for a couple more questions. So, Amy, how about number three?
All right, guys. Billy on Twitter wants to know, who do you think is the biggest leader in the secondary? You think more Bernard Pollard, Michael Griffin? What do you guys think?
I think, you know, outwardly, it definitely would be Bernard Pollard, because when you come to practice, that's who you hear. When you go to the games, that's who you see being vocal. But Michael Griffin is definitely a leader in that locker room and in that secondary. But I can't forget Jason McCourty. So I think it's one of those things that they all play a different part. There's not one distinct leader. They all have their role within that defensive secondary.
Those are all good. I'll give you another one, George Wilson.
Absolutely. I love George Wilson from the standpoint that he's not a starter, but very well could be. But when he's out there, he plays like a starter, and he's professional throughout the whole thing.
All right, Amy, one more shot. Hit us with your best one.
All right, Keith, this last one's for you. Zach wants to know, which player on this Titans team right now reminds you the most of yourself?
Oh,
nobody. I mean, honestly, I haven't seen enough, but in a 3-4 defense, there would be no linebacker that I could possibly say, just because we're not playing the same position. It's totally different. I never felt it fair for me to be compared to a 3-4 linebacker. Therefore, it's not fair for 4-3 a 3-4 linebacker to be compared to a 4-3 linebacker.
Well, it probably cost you 5 Pro Bowls.
That's all good, man. It works out at the end of the day.
It does. I have a gift for you. I want to show everybody this hot off the press. This is the Titans 2014 yearbook. You can buy them here at training camp. You can buy them at LP Field at the all-new team store, which is open 7 days a week, or you can buy them right here at TitansOnline.com. That's the first one for you, Keith Bullock. I wanted you to have it. Coach Ken Wisenhunt, I bet he'd sign it for
you.
Yeah,
I'm going to try and get Coach Wisenhunt to sign this for me. Do you think he'll do it?
I think he would.
All right, he's a very serious guy. You know, I met with him when I was my free agent year when he was the head coach of the Cardinals. So, you know.
Good memories from that?
Yeah, actually, the only reason I didn't go there was they didn't have a quarterback at the time, you know, Matt Leinart and some other guy. So I'd rather go play with Eli.
All right. Well, that worked out.
It did.
All right. Well, Keith Bullock, we're back on Sunday at 2:30. Special time because the team leaves that night to go to Atlanta to practice against the Falcons. So practice starts at 2:20. We're on at 2:30. Which position are we going to focus on Sunday?
Let's go to the O-line. Let's go see how those big boys are doing, how their camp has been.
All right. We're going to talk offensive line coming up this Sunday on the next edition of Titans Live. And remember, next open practice here at St. Thomas Sports Park is this Sunday starting at 2:20. So for Amy Wells, Coach Louis Chofi, also Keith Bullock, and thanking Albert Breer for being with us, I'm Mike Keith. Thank you for joining us for Titans Live here at TitansOnline.com. We'll see you at practice at St. Thomas Sports Park.